Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. Soggy weather as we start the week from the Great Lakes to the East Coast, including New England down through northern Florida, thanks to some weak weather fronts and lingering Gulf moisture. But by Wednesday, a nice high-pressure ridge will clear skies, and we can look forward to some beautiful seasonal weather with temperatures in the upper 70s to lower 80s and comfortable humidities. And that's going to stretch all the way to the Midwest cities like Chicago, Kansas City, and St. Louis. Still some 90-degree readings in Texas, but with lower humidities. Now, the big changes are out in the West, and I will feature that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser Weather Reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, Sterling on Sunday, 3 hours on your radio station with Walter M. Sterling. That would be me. Yes, you made the mistake, and here I am. Coming up, I'm going to share with you some stories about my buddies, Jim Paul and Patrick Brown. And these are two of the greatest guys I know. And a couple times a year, I get to tell you some stories about them because these are characters. And there was a lot of talk about why wasn't the American Airlines plane and the United Airlines plane going into the World Trade Center? Why they left from Boston? They left from Washington. Why weren't they scrambled by military jets? Why didn't military jets go up and direct them in a different direction, or if necessary, shoot them down? Why didn't that happen? And because this is the United States of America, and we have remarkable military jets, the greatest military jets in the world, the capability to go up and move those guys to wherever we wanted to, if necessary. Why didn't any of our military jets go up there? And I've heard a lot of nonsense stories about why that didn't happen. And then I was listening to audio from September 11th, and this is what I heard.
Air Game of Central ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
New York. Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
No.
Being hit by an aircraft?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
You're kidding.
It's on the world news.
Ask them if they still have altitude.
Do you still have altitude on that aircraft that you have for hijacking?
No, like I said, I don't work a radar here.
Yeah, you lost. Oh. You said you lost contact, though.
Call this number again. Call this number right here. Tell her that we can't get through on that number.
Man, 468.
5959.
We cannot get through to that number. Is there any other number? Is that New York military?
No, it's not. That's the only number I have for operations there.
Okay, we'll just want to give you a heads up that there is an aircraft that did hit the World Trade Center just a few minutes ago, but that certainly is not that guy.
Not that guy? Strike?
Not as... Okay.
Is he airborne? Call?
We're just trying to find out what we can, ma'am. We're trying to sort it out,
yes,
too. But that phone number that you
we
gave
need,
us, I can't
have
reach
it.
Anybody.
We need
Is there anyone tracking
the hijack American
11? I'm sorry, start over again. What about American
11? The hijack aircraft American 11. Is anyone tracking from New York Center that aircraft?
We had a primary target on him. We are trying to follow him as best we can. He is not squawking a beacon code
can
whatsoever.
Still see primary?
Can you still see primary?
No, I do not see a primary target at this moment. However, he's not in my airspace. So.
Okay, just wanted to give you a heads up, New York. I don't know if you know, but the World Trade Center has just been hit by an aircraft. Like real world.
And you have that confirmed?
That is on the news, sir, right now.
Okay.
We have no confirmation.
She said that.
On the news.
I'm sorry, there's too many people talking at once.
Yeah, I hear that too. Thank you. If there's anything else we need, we'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Is that what happened? He goes, The other one says, oh, I don't work the radar. The other one says, nobody's answering the phone. You got another phone number. Those are the people in the control towers along the way of American Airlines Flight 11 and a military contact point. And they were trying to determine whether or not the plane had hit the building. These are three people who are looking at radar at the plane. And one of them is watching the news and says, oh, gee, it's on the news. It wasn't a decision to not scramble American Flight 11. They couldn't reach each other. They couldn't reach the control tower. They couldn't decide whether or not American Airlines Flight 11 was on the ground. They're asking, what was the altitude?
Air Game of Central ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
No.
Being hit by an aircraft?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
You're kidding.
It's on the world news.
Actually, they still have altitude.
Do you still have altitude on that aircraft that you have for hijack?
No, I don't work a radar here.
Yeah, you lost. Ooh. You said you lost contact, though.
Call this number again. Call this number right here. Tell her that we can't get through on that number. 631,
man, 468.
5959.
We cannot get through to that number. Is there any other number? Is that New York military?
No, it's not. That's the only number I have for operations there.
Okay, well, just want to give you a heads up that there is an aircraft that did hit the World Trade Center just a few minutes ago, but that certainly is that not that guy.
Not that guy? Strike.
Not as... Okay.
Is he airborne? Call.
We're just trying to find out what we can, ma'am. We're trying to sort it out,
yes.
Too. But that phone number that you gave us, I can't reach anybody.
They couldn't even determine if the plane was still in the sky. They're looking at radar from four different cities. They couldn't decide if American Airlines Flight 11 was still in the sky. They got off the television news that it had hit, that something had hit the World Trade Center. They're trying to reach the military to decide whether or not jets should be scrambled. Can't decide. And then they keep asking, is this real or a test? Is this real, really happening, or is this a test? And the guy keeps saying, no, this is real. This is really going on. It wasn't a policy decision to not send up scrambler jets, and it wasn't a lack of scrambler jets. It was four idiots trying to talk to each other over the radio and the phone who couldn't even determine the altitude of American Airlines Flight 11. It was bureaucracy in the air control towers. Bureaucracy that denied a decision being made. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday Live. What a great gift from Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell has taken $50 off queen size sheets, the most popular sheets for you. These are percal sheets. Percal cotton is extra woven. It's a denser cotton than you usually get. These are beautiful, wonderful sheets, perfect for fall, and will keep you comfortable and keep you cozy. All you have to do is call 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 0876. It's incredible what you're going to get. These beautiful queen size sheets. And now let me tell you about the colors. Red, navy blue, forest green, emerald green, black, white. What a great thing to give your kid at college, right? Call and get the information. It's 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter, and $50 comes off the price. 800-844-0876. Say, Walter, and $50 comes right off. That's just for you, a Sterling on Sunday listener. These are the best sheets you'll ever have. My Pillow sheets. Now, it's coming up to that time of year where you're going to have a lot of holidays and a lot of house visiting. Get a couple, put them in the closet. Somebody calls and says, hey, can you come over tomorrow? No problem. You will have a housewarming gift for the winter ready to go. Percal Sheets from MyPillow. Here's the number, 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Beautiful, wonderful, cozy sheets. These are great. These are queen-size sheets that are normally $89.98, and now they're $39.98. 800-844-0876. MyPillow. Enough. It is time for you to work for yourself. All that work you put in all day, that's for somebody else. It's time for you to enjoy your work personally. The name of the company is Social Indoor, and they're going to give you the opportunity to start your own business. What is Social Indoor? It's amazing. It is the coolest thing. They go to the best bathrooms in the best restaurants in your city. I know that sounds silly, but hear me out. And they install beautiful computer-type screens, big digital screens in the restroom. And on those digital screens are messages that you have sold. Only you get to sell them because this is a franchise and it's exclusive to a certain area. Get all the information about Social Indoor. Go to socialindoor.com. Get all of the information. Get the prospectus. That's the only way you can find out about socialindoor.com. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. On September 11th, 21 years ago, a week earlier, I had received a notice for jury duty in Lower Manhattan, at the courthouses in Lower Manhattan. The way you got out of jury duty the first two times is you could call an automated number and punch in the date of your assignment and your ticket number, your summons number, and you would get a 1 week reprise. You'd get out of it for a week, or they'd send you a new date, but you could get out of it as long as you called by 5 p.m. the night before. And it was automated. And it was 4:55 on September 10th. And I picked up that summons, and I called the automated number at 4:55, and I got out of jury duty on September 11th. Let me tell you where the courthouses are in Lower Manhattan. I would have had to go to the civil cases, at the civil courthouse, and that was within two blocks of the World Trade Center. I didn't have to go on jury duty. I would have been two blocks from the World Trade Center, two blocks. You'll notice around the country, with increasing frequency, there are people on cliffs, at the edge of mountaintops, on the edge of buildings, that die because they fall over the side. They were taking pictures with their iPhones. They wanted to take great Instagram photos. They got too close to the edge, and they fall over. I know why. It's not because they're stupid. It's not because they didn't know where they are. It's because something happens when you're behind a viewfinder that you think you're omnipotent. You think you're omnipotent. You think nothing will happen to you as long as you're looking through that lens. The monsters aren't around you. And then they fall over the cliff. At the time, September 11th, I was a photography buff. I was taking pictures all the time. And I would have taken my camera down to the New York City courthouses, and at the break, because there's always a break, a long break, I would have walked to Chinatown, another two blocks away, and taken photographs, because I love to take pictures in Chinatown. It's the most fascinating place in New York City. I would have had my camera, walked to Chinatown, and been there. If I had been there on September 11th, one block from the World Trade Center, I would have started taking pictures, and I probably would be dead. I would have imagined that the dust, the debris, the falling glass, the falling metal would not have touched me as long as I was looking through a viewfinder. That's what happens when you're getting great pictures. Nothing's going to interrupt me getting these great pictures. That's what happened. I didn't have to go downtown. But I'm so stupid. I'm newly married, and I grabbed my camera, and I said to my wife, I'm going to go down there and take pictures. And she said, no, you're not. You're not going to get anywhere near that. And then as I was looking out from our apartment on 3rd Avenue, which was in walking distance of the World Trade Center, I saw something that you can't imagine. People who were in the World Trade Center started walking north toward where we lived, up 3rd Avenue, Park Avenue, any way they could get out of there. They were covered in gray dust. All of them were covered in gray dust. They looked like ghosts because they had seen something that turned them into ghosts. And they marched up those avenues. And then there were firemen on trucks that had lollies in the back, sitting next to each other, coated in dust. And nobody had on a sad face, a somber face, a smiley face. They were all stunned. They were all in shock. And the scariest thing I saw, which I've never told anybody else, is I saw a New York City fireman carrying a bowling bag. And he was carrying the bowling ball bag, in such a way that this was not a bowling ball. I'd say it was safe to say that he was carrying somebody who had been beheaded downtown. I'll bet you that's what he was carrying in that bag. And as people were walking up 3rd Avenue past my apartment building, we went downstairs and offered them bottles of water and anything else they might need. In fact, a friend of mine, it turns out, was in that procession, a newsman from NBC, and we invited him up to our apartment, which had a nice air conditioner, and he could sit there until he gathered his wits and then go on his way. That was the beginning of the day. That was before the second tower had come down. Thousands of people were walking up the avenues to get as far away from the horror that they had just experienced, not that they had seen, that they had lived in. We looked to the policemen and the firemen for guidance as to what to do, how to behave, where to go. Every hospital below 23rd Street in New York in Lower Manhattan had set up triage centers outside. Every hospital. What was scary is none of them were getting any patients because there were no patients. Everybody who had been injured in those attacks was dead. There were no patients. They weren't taking in patients into the emergency rooms. There were none. We were scared and in awe because what happened then was the fires started. And the fires started with an incredibly acrid smell and started spewing smoke into the air, plumes and plumes of smoke in the air. Those buildings had amazing amounts of paper and volatile material, photocopy ink, all the stuff that could blow up and pollute, and did. The smell lasted for weeks. The smell in the air lasted for weeks. And now the city of New York is refusing to release information about what was in that air. I'll tell you what was in that air. Yeah, there was oil, gasoline, fuel from the World Trade Center. There was pulverized paper, pulverized metals. All of that was in the air. But you know what else was in that air that I was breathing? Was pulverized body parts. Blood, bones, all of it had been smashed and got into the air. I'll tell you about the thing that my wife and I was most afraid of in just seconds. We were most afraid of one thing, and I've never heard it discussed, but we will talk about it. But that's the story. That's the beginning of my story of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. I was supposed to be right at the foot of that building, but so were many other people. there were people who went to start their car to go to work, and when they went to start their car to go to work, it wouldn't start. And they had to sit there, wait for AAA, and the wait for AAA saved their lives. And their shoelaces broke, and they had to get new shoelaces. The carpool didn't arrive. The train was late. They went to get their clothes from the dry cleaner. They thought they had picked it up the night before, and they hadn't. All the people who survived the World Trade Center were people who didn't go to work that day, and inevitably it was because of one little thing kept them from going to work. Their kids suddenly got sick, needed to be driven to school, and they got to work, would have to go to work late. The trains were coming late. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. All of these people were very annoyed that morning that they couldn't get to work on time, that they couldn't get to the World Trade Center when they were supposed to, and those delays saved their life. Everything that would annoy you on any given day turned out to be a blessing. I thought I was going to do jury duty, and I was saved by five minutes before I called in to tell the machine that I couldn't come. If I had 5 minutes to go, if I had gone 1 minute after 5 o'clock, I would have had to go down there, and I would have been at the foot of the World Trade Center. And the monster smoke that came out of there and covered the streets of Lower Manhattan was terrifying and suffocating, and people couldn't breathe. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. That night of September 11th was the greatest night in the history of New York City, because that night, every service, everybody on the streets was your friend and sympathetic and empathetic. We were all as one. We were Americans.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. The tropical remnants of once Hurricane Kay moved over the Mexican Baja Peninsula and on up over Southern California over last weekend, bringing an end to the elongated heat wave with much welcome rain. San Diego had over a half an inch of rain, and now those clouds, showers, and thunderstorms will move to the desert southwest. Las Vegas will have thunderstorms in the forecast, but high temperatures in the 90s we had the last few weeks. Cooler air off in the Pacific Ocean will stream into the California coast, and that's going to cool Sacramento, where the highs will be in the 80s instead of the 90s and lower 100s. And Portland, and Seattle, too, they'll be back in the 70s and 80s. Now, fall is in the air if you're in the mood. That's in Fairbanks, Alaska. The trees' leaves are changing colors, and temperatures there in the 50s. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour only on Sterling on Sunday.
Driving across the country on Route 81, up and down the California coast on I-5, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, a KFBK and KDKA. It is an honor to be with you on September 11th, live. I was in Lower Manhattan on September 11th. Here's what I saw and heard. What I heard was virtual silence as the people from Lower Manhattan walked up the avenues to escape. Nonstop sirens. Every siren in the city of New York was moving toward the World Trade Center. There are certain things that you're not allowed to say, that are just not popular to say no matter what. One of them is, as I've used the example, I'm not allowed to say that I don't like Adele's music. I respect Adele, but I don't like her music. One of the things that Donald Trump said at the time was nobody liked those buildings. They shouldn't have come down that way. No one should have died for the buildings, but he said the truth, which is nobody liked those buildings. Whenever I would go into the World Trade Center and I'd walk through the lobby to get to the other side to go to the World Financial Center where my client, the Wall Street Journal, was, every time I walked through them, I went, I always felt this great relief of having got through it, because it always went through my head subliminally that that thing could collapse on me. There was no reason to think that, but it was an irrational fear. At the top of the World Trade Center was the Windows on the World restaurant, one of the greatest restaurants in New York. It was the highest grossing restaurant in New York. One of the great features about Window on the World is you could get a private dining room. And that private dining room, the table was set up so that everybody was facing the window and you could see out. And it was an incredible experience, except for one thing. I was always terrified. I was always afraid of being up that high in that building. And then it collapsed. And as Trump said, nobody liked that building. And we didn't. But you couldn't say it. You weren't allowed to say it. One of my disappointments in President Trump is he finally had the opportunity as a great New York City builder and now as president of the United States to clear up the myths. He had all sources of information. As a builder, he would know whether or not it was a controlled demolition. He would know that from looking at it, from his contacts. He would know if it was a controlled demolition. And then in Washington, he had the secret files, which could show him whether or not it was a controlled demolition. He never addressed it. He never talked about it. Nobody asked him about it. Instead, they asked him about the Steele dossier. Who cares? He knew about that building, how it was built, why it collapsed, and whether or not it could be a controlled demolition. And to my mind, there has never been a sufficient explanation of how it came down. And then World Trade Center number 7, which was a sort of normal building next to it, well, that's had a pretty good explanation as to why that had to come down. But it wasn't addressed at the time, which is that the debris from the two World Trade Centers falling on that building was a load that it could not handle. And the safest thing to do would be to pull it. It had raging fires in it for 10 hours, and then the weight of the steel coming off of the World Trade Center. But I will tell you, my instincts when I walked through the lobby of the World Trade Center and the lower levels of the World Trade Center, I always thought, oh my gosh. And when I got to the other side, I went, whew. I was always glad to get out of there. And I could have never worked in there. It swayed back and forth with the winds. When it opened, there were ads showing a plane flying into it. And the copy in the ads for the opening of the World Trade Center said, capable of withstanding the impact of an airplane. A great safe building. No, really, there were ads for that. And that was the day Mayor Giuliani became America's mayor. And he was a leader. And he said the right things. He behaved the right way. He showed us the right things to do. He was a great mayor that day. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you a story about my friend Jim Paul and Patrick Brown, who are my buddies. They're great guys, and I've got some good stories about them. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And the way the higher power works is this. My wife and I were walking around Lower Manhattan, watching people come up covered in this hideous gray dust. And there was a church. There was a Catholic church in Greenwich Village, probably called the Greenwich Village Church. And we walked in to say a prayer. And the minute we walked in, that moment, the priest comes out and starts a mass. And we're like, we were hoodwinked into this church. Now we have to sit through the mass. And the priest said, do not seek revenge. seek forgiveness. I'm Walter Sterling. My number is 888-688-WALT, and this is Sterling on Sunday. Please listen carefully. These are the magic numbers, 800-844-0876. You will reach somebody who's an expert, a brilliant person, about My Giza sheets. The My Giza sheets are amazing because they're made out of percal cotton. Percal cotton is extra woven. It's a denser cotton than you usually get. These are beautiful, wonderful sheets, perfect for fall. You can wrap yourself in them and instantly feel warm and cozy. You got a kid going back to college? Send them to your kid. They will feel so special, so close to you, because you care enough to send the best sheets. The sheets at college and school are terrible. Send your kid the right sheets. What are the right sheets? My Pillow Percal sheets. Now, usually these sheets are $89.99. For you, Sterling on Sunday listener, they're $39.99. The price drops $50. $50. $50. What do you got to do? Say, Walter! When you say my name, Walter, the price drops $50 instantly. You don't have to wait for a mail-in rebate. What a stupid thing is that, mail-in rebate? But I don't need to give you stamps and my time. Nonsense. You get the price drop instantly when you say Walter at 800-844-0876. Now, what about the colors? Are they all in white? No. They're beautiful, different, unique colors, such as red, blue, forest green, light green, beautiful colors, and black. You send your kid black sheets to college, suddenly your kid will finally be cool. You see your cell phone? Use it. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876 for Percal sheets from My Pillow. Welcome. We're talking about September 11th, 21 years ago, from my perspective, which was in Manhattan. I could have walked to the World Trade Center. Tony at 888-688-WALT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Yo, Tony.
Hey, Walter.
Tony, hey.
Walter, how are you?
Okay.
Nice to share this bittersweet day with you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, a little about my day on 9/11/2001. I was hungover, had bowled the night before, drank too much beer, and my dad knocked on my bedroom door to wake me up to tell me what was going on. I was angry because I was hungover and sleepy, and said, turn on the TV, look what's going on. Plane just hit the World Trade Center. So I turned on the TV, and then the second plane hit, and I thought it was a replay. And then the building collapsed shortly thereafter. I still had to go to work for something trivial. I called my boss, and I was shaking. I ran a bowling center at the time. And we had an older ladies' league that had called me to cancel. And I called my boss, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going to go in today with what's going on. And the ladies' league canceled. He says, well, we have an ice cream truck coming. and that was the least of my concerns at that time. Needless to say, the ice cream truck didn't show up. But I sensed something in my dad, though, that day. It was kind of a harsh realization. I went downstairs, and I said, what do you think of this, Dad? And he said, what are you going to do about it? And that wasn't my dad. And I sensed something was very wrong. And he would die like less than 6 months later. So I knew he wasn't himself. But that, to me, was the worst day in American history since I've been around.
I agree. And I thank you for the call, Tony. Thank you so much. At 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. One of my clients at the time, I was a consultant at the time, I wore suits, and one of my clients was Parade Magazine, the most read publication in the English language. And the chairman of Parade Magazine, Walter Anderson, brilliant man, wonderful man, he did not stay home. He did not closed the magazine. He said, our best defense against these people is to come to work anyway and to do our best anyway. And that is the way we stand up to them. And he was right. And he was also had been a Marine. I mean, didn't mean had been. All Marines are Marines forever. But that's what he said. And there was a department meeting that day. I was supposed to go to a department meeting, and I went because Walter Anderson said, no, no, we're all going to come in. This is what we do. We're Americans. This is how we show ourselves as Americans. And he was right. It was interesting to me that almost nothing closed in New York City. Nothing closed in Lower Manhattan. Everything stayed open, and that's how we started our fight. One of the things I've always believed is that we have only begun to fight that enemy. Yeah, we got a couple of the leaders, but more of the leaders are sitting in our jails. More of the leaders are around the world hiding, and more of the leaders should be killed. What they did to our culture, to my friends, to 3,800 people at the World Trade Center was murder. That was murder. I love it when people say, you know, who passed away at the World Trade Center, who succumbed to the attacks. No, they were murdered. Imagine being on the 108th floor and looking out the window and, my gosh, there's a DC-10 10 feet away from your window. It was horrifying. Let me tell you about Jim Paul and Patrick Brown, my dear friends, both of whom at one point in my life or another were responsible for saving my life. Jim Paul was the youngest member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And he wrote a book called What I Learned Losing $1 Million. And he wrote that about losing $1 million before he was 30. And he was a big, brash American man. He was the guy who could get you tickets. He knew which team was going to win. He was like the Rush chairman at a fraternity. He was one of my heroes. The guy had to be 6 feet tall. No, 6 foot five, well-dressed, the whole shebang. And he died helping women get out of the World Trade Center, helping his fellow workers at Car Futures. He worked at Car Futures in the World Trade Center. And when that plane hit and where it hit, I opened up my book of business cards. Remember business cards? And there it said, you know, 106th floor. He was on the 106th floor of the World Trade Center. And there was his name. There was the floor. I picked up the phone and called. The ring was dead. There were no calls getting through. But in other books about the collapse of the World Trade Center, his name was mentioned, Jim Carr. He had a beautiful daughter, a loving wife, a loving son. He was a great man. He died with a church full of friends. That church was packed. His funeral service was packed. He was from Chicago. He was the youngest member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He had a seat on the Mercantile Exchange like when he was 28, because that's just the way it was going to be with Jim Carr. That's what was going to happen. He was going to have it. He died sober with a church full of people. He was a brilliant businessman. Can you imagine that? Now, let me tell you about Patrick Brown. Patrick Brown had the dilemma of being maybe the most handsome man you ever saw. And he was a Vietnam veteran, strong, buff, kind, gentle. And he had a twin. In case you needed a spare, there was Patrick Brown's twin. He also was very interesting because he was a captain in the New York City Fire Department. And he was a captain that ran a firehouse that people fought to get into. Other firemen would do anything to be in Patrick Brown's firehouse. He was that popular. Like, if you could get into Patrick Brown's firehouse, that was a win. Captain Patrick Brown. And there have been books written about him, and there are statues to him. Because he was a great man. Because while Jim Paul was trying to save women in that horrible situation, try to find a safe passage for them out. Patrick Brown was running into the building. He was going into the building. He was doing everything he could to get people out of the building by going in. That's who he was. He was a fireman, a captain in the New York City Fire Department. Not easy to get. There are no slips. It's all merit. In the New York City Fire Department, it's all merit. You get to be a captain, you're a real captain. It isn't like somebody got you in. That was my first day. And then the next day in New York City after it, the air stank, and it stank for weeks. You could see the smoke for weeks. And then we'd go to look at the pile of rubble. And I had friends who got up on that pile and started to dig and look for people who were still alive and got sick and got cancer from being on that pile. But that's what they did. That's what they did. I love the fact that Starbucks caught hell for wanting to still sell the bottles of water to rescue workers. Rescue workers would go into the nearby Starbucks and they'd want to sell them the bottle of water. Finally, corporate said, you will give the bottles of water. Imagine having to get a decree from corporate to give the bottles of water, but those are the sort of wacky things that happen. My biggest fear, my wife and I, our biggest fear was we didn't have any kids yet. Now, Pearl Harbor happened over there. It was still abstract, even though it was on American territory. It was still abstract. This happened down the street. The greatest attack in the history of America happened down the street. 3,000 people died down the street. You could walk to it. How was I going to explain that to my children? How was I going to keep them feeling safe when they realized that, oh my gosh, it was there? I have friends who live near there. There's a public school across the street from the World Trade Center. To this day, Stuyvesant High is across the street from the World Trade Center. How do you give a kid a feeling of safety when they realize that that happened down the street? As parents, that was our greatest challenge, not critical race theory. It was, how do I explain to them that 3,000 people died down the street? Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. Soggy weather as we start the week from the Great Lakes to the East Coast, including New England down through northern Florida, thanks to some weak weather fronts and lingering Gulf moisture. But by Wednesday, a nice high-pressure ridge will clear skies, and we can look forward to some beautiful seasonal weather with temperatures in the upper 70s to lower 80s and comfortable humidities. And that's going to stretch all the way to the Midwest cities like Chicago, Kansas City, and St. Louis. Still some 90-degree readings in Texas, but with lower humidities. Now, the big changes are out in the West, and I will feature that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling with you in your 18-wheeler driving across the country. Let's again listen to why exactly no scrambler jets were sent up on September 11th. It wasn't policy. It wasn't that we didn't have any. It was this.
Air Game of Texas ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
Yeah,
Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
No.
Being hit by an aircraft?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
You're kidding.
It's on the world news.
Actually, I think they still have altitude.
Do you still have altitude on that aircraft that you have for hydraulic?
I don't work a radar here.
Yeah, you lost. Ooh. You said you lost contact, though.
Call this number again. Call this number right here. Tell her that we can't get through on that number. 631,
man, 468.
5959.
We cannot get through to that number. Is there any other number? Is that New York military?
No, it's not. That's the only number I have for operations there.
Okay, well, just want to give you a heads up that there is an aircraft that did hit the World Trade Center just a few minutes ago, but that apparently is that not that guy.
Not that guy?
Strike.
Not as, okay.
Is he airborne? Call.
We're just trying to find out what we can, ma'am. We're trying to sort it out, too. But that phone number that you gave us, I can't reach anybody.
We need
to is there
in
anybody
New York
connected
Center
in New York Center?
I'm sorry, start over again. What about American 11?
The hijacked aircraft, American 11. Is anyone tracking from New York Center that aircraft?
We had a primary target on him. We are trying to follow him as best we can. He is not squawking a beacon code whatsoever.
Can you still see primary?
No, I do not see a primary target at this moment. However, he's not in my airspace. So.
Okay, just wanted to give you a heads up, New York. I don't know if you know, but the World Trade Center has just been hit by an aircraft. Real world.
You have that confirmed?
That is on the news, sir, right now.
Hmm. Okay.
Hmm. We have no confirmation. It's on the news.
It's on the news right now, and he goes,
There's
too
many
huh.
people talking at once.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, too many people are talking.
Okay, thank you.
I'm inconvenienced. I don't like all these people talking. You woke me up. Oh, my gosh. Sir, there. It's real world. It's on the news. It's on the news? Huh. The other one can't get through on a phone number. One phone number to New York Control. One. Is that the control tower or is that military? I don't know, but nobody's answering. Do you see this plane on your radar? Well, I don't work radar. I told you that. What the heck? That's why there were no scrambler jets. There was a bureaucracy in place between the safety of those people in the planes and the people who could have helped them, who could have sent up scrambler jets and guided that airplane far away from the World Trade Center. But that didn't happen. Because all of these geniuses were talking at each other and didn't know what to do.
Air game and Central ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
New York.
Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
What?
No.
What information? What?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
You're kidding.
It's on the world news.
You're kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Do you still have altitude on that aircraft that you have for hydraulic?
I don't work a radar here.
Yeah, you lost. Ooh. You said you lost contact, though.
Call this number again. Call this number right here. Tell her that we can't get through on that number.
468-5959. We cannot get through to that number. Is there any other number? Is that New York military?
No, it's not. That's the only number I have for operations there.
Okay, well, just want to give you a heads up that there is an aircraft that did hit the World Trade Center just a few minutes ago, but that apparently is that not that guy.
Not that guy?
Strike.
Not as, okay.
Is he airborne? Call.
We're just trying to find
is
out what we
the,
can,
on
ma'am.
On the ground? Is he in
out.
The
yeah,
air?
That phone number that you
we
gave
need,
us, I can't reach
it.
Anybody.
Go
in New
York Center
in New York
get,
Center.
I'm sorry, start over again. What about American 11?
What? You woke me up.
The hijacked aircraft, American
bring those donuts
11.
Over
is
here.
Anyone tracking from New York Center that aircraft?
We had a primary target on him. We are trying to follow him as best we can. He is not squawking a beacon code
can
whatsoever.
Still see primary?
Can you still see primary?
No, I do not see a primary career at this moment.
I got some donuts here.
Airspace, so.
Okay, just wanted to give you a heads up, New York. I don't know if you know, but the World Trade Center has just been hit by an aircraft. Real world.
You have that confirmed?
That is on the news, sir, right now.
Hmm.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay, well, wake me up if something else happens.
I'm sorry, there's too many people talking at once.
Yeah, I hear that, too. Thank you. If there's anything else we need, we'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure. If there's anything else they need, we'll give you a call. What would you call that guy for? I can't imagine calling that guy for anything except more charcoal briquettes. What an embarrassment. There were three bureaucrats squawking at each other. None of them knew if the plane was in the air, down on the ground, hit the World Trade Center. One of them saying, I don't watch radar. The other one saying, I can't get through on the telephone. Nobody's answering. Is that military or is that control? Nobody knew anything. That's why no jets were scrambled. Nobody could decide what. Nobody, forget about deciding to scramble them. No one could talk to each other to even ascertain if the plane was still in the air. And then march ahead and scramble jets. Many steps to go. They were not on the first step to scramble any jets and possibly save those people in the air and in the World Trade Center. What an embarrassment. We have the greatest military in the world. We have the greatest air force in the world. But our bureaucracy that interfaces with them needed a little work that day. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is our Midnight Misfit Hour on our giant three-hour radio show called Sterling on Sunday. It doesn't cost much to have true luxury at your fingertips. Normally, this luxury would cost $89.99. Now it's only $39.99, $50 off for what? Percale sheets from MyPillow. You won't believe these sheets. They're made out of percale cotton. And what is percale cotton? It is a denser weave of cotton. It feels extra soft, extra cozy, and keeps you warm. The colors, red, navy blue, forest green, light green, black, white. Imagine these colors, beige. These are beautiful colors that belong in your bedroom on your bed. 800-844-0876. That is the number to call right now, because right now on a Sunday night, there's a human being waiting to talk to you about these sheets and getting them ready for you for the holidays, getting them ready for you for birthdays, and the best gift you could send your kid at college, their own sheets. Beautifully made, extra comfortable. Here are the colors: red, navy blue, forest green, light green, beige, emerald green. They're incredible. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter! And the price drops from $89.99 to $39.99. Just like that. 50 bucks off by saying my name, Walter. The reason the price goes down like that is because you're a Sterling on Sunday listener. And I made it very clear to them that if they wanted to be on Sterling on Sunday, they had to offer something special. And this is it. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to the Fort Lauderdale area, where a Florida woman has her own investment firm. And this investment firm has an amazing record of getting returns for their clients. This Florida woman's investment firm was doing so good that she was getting 10% returns on a monthly basis. That's 120% in a year. Word was getting around about this amazing performance and money started pouring in. But last spring, someone created a website with a name that's similar to the Florida woman's investment firm and started publicly accusing the company of running a Ponzi scheme. So 2 months later, the FBI goes undercover to visit the office in Pompano Beach as a potential investor. We do a little bit more digging. And the whole thing comes tumbling down. Yes, it is a $196 million Ponzi scheme. She had scammed money from more than 15,000 investors. And usually when you see these Ponzi schemes, these giant scams, you know, the Bernie Madoffs or whatever, it's almost exclusively men. It's good to see a little bit of equality in the Ponzi scheme field. You know, I like my daughter seeing that you can do anything a man can do, even a Ponzi scheme. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to North Fort Myers. WBBH reports that a 34-year-old Florida man had his Nissan Altima parallel parked in a way that partially blocked the bicycle lane. And cops see this guy illegally parked. They pull up behind him with the lights blinking. They get out. And as they are approaching the car, they see the driver reclined in the driver's seat. So they ask 34-year-old Florida man to step out of the vehicle. And instead of stepping out of the vehicle, he reaches in the center console and pulls out a 3-foot steel sword. Then he attaches a metal dragon-shaped handle to the base of the blade. And he tries to take a swing at the deputies. And you say, isn't he in the reclined position in his car? Yes, he's still in the Nissan Altima. He tries stabbing them out the open window. So the two cops pull out their tasers and they both hit him. And he knocks the taser prongs off with his sword. He opens the door, tries to make a run for it. They tackle him and it's over. But in the car, you're not going to believe this, they found methamphetamine, marijuana, a glass pipe. No report on whether or not that was actual valerian steel. But if you think about it, you have never heard of a story of a crime that began when a guy assembled his own sword on the spot. Now you have. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, my friend, you and I can stay in touch at all times. What's that sound? Oh, yeah, this sound. What is that? What am I hearing? No. What am I hearing? Hold on a second. Hold on. You can't have random sounds on the radio. That's how people get fired. There we go. My phone had decided to join the show. Here's my number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I have read and studied all the films on the conspiracy theories about September 11th. I have watched them. I have read them. And there's always a plausible explanation, except why weren't scrambler jets sent up? Why weren't military scrambler jets sent up? And the answers didn't make sense until I heard that audio between the control tower, the military, whoever connects them and talks to them. There was no conspiracy there. The reason the scrambler jets weren't set up wasn't because, gee, we didn't have any. That was my favorite. Or because they were on a practice run? No. We're the United States of America. We can defend our borders and our coastlines just fine if somebody talks to the scrambler jets, the bosses of the scrambler jets, the people in charge, and says, we need scrambler jets. But that didn't happen. The reason it didn't happen is because, first of all, nobody could decide if American Flight 11 was actually in the air. And then it couldn't decide where it was and what its altitude was. And then, oh, gee, a plane hit the World Trade Center. Was it American Flight 11? We don't know.
Air Game of Central ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
Leon. Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
No.
Being hit by an aircraft?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
You're kidding.
It's on the world news.
Ask them if they still have altitude.
Do you still have altitude on that aircraft that you have for hijack?
Like I said, I don't work a radar here.
Yeah, you lost. Oh. You said you lost contact, though.
Call this number again. Call this number right here. Tell her that we can't get a 631
man, 468.
5959.
We cannot get through to that number. Is there any other number? Is that New York military?
No, it's not.
They're giving out numbers they don't even know what it's for.
Okay, we'll just want to give you a heads up that there is an aircraft that did hit the World Trade Center just a few minutes ago, but that certainly is not that guy.
Not that guy?
Strike.
Not as... Okay.
Is he airborne? Call.
We're just trying to find out what we can, ma'am. We're trying to sort it out, too. But that phone number that you gave us, I can't reach anybody.
Is there anybody in New York Center?
possible for an aircraft? Did we get a tail number?
Is anyone tracking the hijack American 11?
I'm sorry, start over again. What about American 11?
The hijack aircraft American 11. Is anyone tracking from New York Center that aircraft?
We had a primary target on him. We are trying to follow him as best we can. He is not squawking a beacon code
can
whatsoever.
Can you still see primary?
Can you still see primary?
No, I do not see a primary target at this moment. However, he's not in my airspace. So.
Okay, just wanted to give you a heads up, New York. I don't know if you know, but the World Trade Center has just been hit by aircraft. Real world.
You have that confirmed?
That is on the news, sir, right now.
Okay.
Huh, son of a gun.
We have no confirmation.
Gosh, gee.
I'm sorry, there's too many people talking at once.
Yeah, I hear that, too. Thank you. If there's anything else we need, we'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, let me just get another donut and settle in here. Oh, my gosh. One person said that they weren't working radar. Another person said, I can't see it. I can't decide if they have altitude or not. Nobody could make a decision about where American Airlines Flight 11 was. They couldn't figure out where it was, and this was in New York City. The control towers between New York and Boston could not figure out where the plane was. They couldn't see if it had altitude. They couldn't see if it was still in the air. They couldn't figure out, they couldn't see a radar target on it. The guy's going, I don't have a tail number on that. I don't have a tail. How come nobody filled out a form? Oh, my. That's why no jets were scrambled. There was no decision, no ability to decide if that plane was in the air, where it was headed, who was in charge. No one was in charge. I don't look at radar, said one woman. I don't have any radar to look at. Another one said, hey, call this number. What do you mean call a number? Why are you supposed to call a number? You've got radar sets in front of you up and down the line in those control towers. You're supposed to call a phone number? And D, no one was answering the number. Nobody was answering their number. Unbelievable. That's why no jets were scrambled. Our military would have been more than capable of sending that airplane wherever they wanted it to go, over the ocean, away from America. But they never had a chance. It wasn't like Dick Cheney said, don't send up scrambler jets. Nobody said anything to the captains in charge of the scrambler jets. It never got that far. What a tragedy. That's the only mess we had that was completely, absolutely avoidable. I love some of the other myths about, well, you know, there were tanks on the streets the night before. There weren't any tanks on the streets the night before. I lived in Manhattan then. And it was just a horrible experience. Thousands of people walking up the avenues from the World Trade Center covered in gray dust. And then you started breathing the acrid, horrible air all over Manhattan. And everybody was under the false impression that that acrid smoke could not possibly hurt us because we were on an island surrounded by water. That smoke would be taken off the island, sent out to the ocean, to the rivers, and we'd be fine. But in fact, that smoke was filled with powdered metal, poison, oils, gasoline, all of the things that were flammable turned into pulverized dust, put into the smoke, and we could breathe it. That was September 11th. What was my greatest fear about September 11th? We didn't have any kids yet. The kids would be coming soon. And our question was, how the heck do we tell them about this, that these people died at the end of our street? How do you tell kids that this attack happened at the end of their street and still make sure they feel safe? Because, you know, Pearl Harbor didn't happen here. It happened way over there. It was very abstract. When I was a kid and I was told about Pearl Harbor, it was very abstract. Hey, let's you and I talk. My number is 888-688-9258. The show is Sterling on Sunday.
Friday night means high school football in the Delaware Valley. And once again this year, the Scoreboard Show will break it all down. It's the Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney. WPHT's version of Friday Night Lights. Every Friday night at 10, all the big high school games in the region with expert analysis. The Scoreboard Show. Only on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It takes guts to drive change. It takes conviction and a world of resilience to fuel the hydrogen economy, to enable decarbonization, 5G connectivity, and sustainable cooling solutions, to build a smarter infrastructure. We are Chemours. Purpose is our blueprint. Courage is our mandate. Chemours. Courageous chemistry.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I am a mother.
I am an entrepreneur.
I am a singer.
I am an artist.
I'm a journalist. A businesswoman.
An educator.
A sister.
A grandmother.
An advocate.
A leader.
I am a friend.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am one of more than a million people living with HIV in the U.S.
We are not alone. Let's stop HIV together.
Get the facts. Get tested. Get involved. Go to www.actagainstaids.org for more information.
You are not your diagnosis.
A medical chart is not your identity.
And vision loss does not define you.
Your drive shows who you are.
And you are not alone.
Because we are driven too.
To be a beacon of strength.
A champion of courage.
An advocate for hope.
You are not alone.
Because we are stronger together.
We drive the research for the cures we are finding.
We're fighting macular degeneration,
retinitis pigmentosa,
Usher syndrome,
and the entire spectrum of blinding retinal diseases.
We fund.
We fight.
We win.
We are the foundation fighting blindness.
Together, we are fighting blindness.
Join the fight at fightingblindness.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
No
woke win. Follow 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. The tropical remnants of once Hurricane Kay moved over the Mexican Baja Peninsula and on up over Southern California over last weekend, bringing an end to the elongated heat wave with much welcome rain. San Diego had over a half an inch of rain, and now those clouds, showers, and thunderstorms will move to the desert southwest. Las Vegas will have thunderstorms in the forecast. High temperatures in the 90s we had the last few weeks. Cooler air off in the Pacific Ocean will stream into the California coast, and that's going to cool Sacramento, where the highs will be in the 80s instead of the 90s and lower 100s. And Portland, and Seattle, too, they'll be back in the 70s and 80s. Now, fall is in the air if you're in the mood. That's in Fairbanks, Alaska. The trees' leaves are changing colors and temperatures there in the 50s. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. And for our last Florida story, we're going over to the Palm Coast, where a regular old middle-aged husband and his wife were in the kitchen putting dinner together. It's a Saturday night, but they decided to stay in. However, a 32-year-old Florida man walks in the front door. Doesn't knock, walks in the front door. Excuse me, what are you doing here? Hey, who are you? I'm the guy who owns this place. Who are you? He's like, I'm not here to cause any trouble. Well, fine. You're going to have to get out. We don't know you. So he lifts his shirt, and what we guess is him showing the homeowner that he's not armed and he's not dangerous. He's like, I don't care if you're armed and dangerous. You have to get out of my house. He says, I'll go wherever I want. What's your problem? Problem is you're in my house. And eventually the 32-year-old Florida man walks back out the front door, but he doesn't leave. He sits on the porch. Then he contemplates his situation and decides that he's going to try and break back in the house. But the homeowners have locked all the doors, so he starts beating on the windows. They call 911. Cops show up, catch him immediately, put him in the car, and they're asking him to explain himself. They're like, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't know where I am. Well, why are you going in the house? Was I going in the house? I don't know what I'm doing. He's clearly messed up. And they're like, are you on drugs? What did you do? The quote, I snorted hot rails of meth. That's literally in the police report. I snorted hot rails of meth.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It has been 21 years since 9/11, and the city of New York has still not come forward with information about what it knew in the aftermath of the attacks. There are thousands of 9/11 responders and survivors who have the right to the information, but they still don't have it. There are documents that are unreleased, and the mayor says it is subject to privilege. Other documents are under review but have been withheld because of the presence of ongoing and potential litigation. 21 years later, ladies and gentlemen, city lawyers have told Senator Nadler and Maloney that Adams might divulge the documents if the feds grant the city immunity from further litigation. Adams wants to keep nearly $300 million remaining in the $1 billion defense fund provided by Congress shortly after 9/11 to pay claims stemming from the World Trade Center. The fund is run by an entity called, ready, WTC Captive Insurance. It settled a mass lawsuit by 10,000 Ground Zero responders in 2010, 12 years ago, paying more than $700 million. But with few exceptions, it has been largely dormant for a decade since the federal 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund reopened in 2011. To date, the Victim Compensation Fund has doled out more than $10 billion to responders and others deemed to have who have 9/11 illnesses. It is a disgrace and yet another betrayal of New Yorkers' trust that this money is sitting there that there's documents and information about the air and the air quality after the World Trade Center attacks, but the city called the documents irrelevant. But they were ordered to turn it over. It revealed that firefighters lacked air purifying respirators as they dug amid the dust and smoke. Those guys had nothing. I saw them digging through the muck and through the pile, as it was called, and they had no protection. It was just them. No protection, just them. No air filters, no purifiers. These should have all been disclosed. All of that problem should have been disclosed decades ago, 21 years. So they figure they're just going to wait for all these people to die of cancer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, the most important question we have to deal with today, the unlimited breadsticks at Olive Garden. If you order 400 breadsticks at Olive Garden, the restaurant, can they legally do something to stop you? You're supposed to have unlimited breadsticks at Olive Garden. Well, it turns out, really, they're only going to give you 10. If you order more than 10, the restaurant may refuse to serve them to you or charge you for the additional breadsticks. Now, the other thing that I've been fascinated by, I thought for years that Queen Elizabeth, because of the Magna Carta, had actually no power. That's what I thought. She could give out medals making people knights, and that she really couldn't do that. The Parliament had to say who she was going to give the knights to. What do they call it? Make them into knights? I forget. And she couldn't even say, I'd like Paul McCartney to be made a knight. She could not make a suggestion. Therefore, I thought this was purely ceremonial. Purely her job was ceremonial. But it turns out she had a lot of power. And it's a question of how much she wanted to use it. It was discretionary. She had a lot of power, but it was discretionary. And how much she used it was totally up to her. Now, let me tell you some of the things that she did that I didn't know. It took a true lack of political power didn't mean that the Queen wasn't powerful. She was very powerful. What you're talking about there is not so much power as influence. You ready? One of the Queen's most important reserve powers was to appoint a new prime minister. Queen Elizabeth appointed 15 prime ministers during her reign, starting with Winston Churchill in 1951, right up to Liz Truss just a few days before she died. According to convention, the day after a general election, the Queen normally invited the leader of the party who won the most seats in the Parliament to Buckingham Palace. The Queen would ask the leader whether or not she will form a government. The question was fully ceremonial. But Murphy, this official, said it was underscores the monarch's incredible responsibility. If the election resulted in a hung Parliament in which no party was a clear majority of the seats, it was still not up to the Queen to pick a winner. Not that Elizabeth, who always took great pains to remain apolitical, she would have never done that. But in 2015, when pundits widely predicted a hung parliament, the Queen very pointedly left London for the weekend. She was clearly saying, look, guys, I don't want to be involved with this. All right, so that's what she did. Well, there's more. She opened and closed Parliament. The Queen no longer had any power to dissolve Parliament. That was repealed in 2011. Other ceremonial powers. As part of Britain's constitutional monarchy, the Queen was obliged to give royal assent to all bills passed by Parliament before they could become law. So she had to agree to these laws before they became law. Her approval was purely formality, since the last time royal assent was refused was in 1707. She also gave out knighthoods and other awards for exceptional achievement and service twice a year. But those honors were not hers to decide. Committees of experts, along with government reps, presented her with a list of people to be honored by the prime minister. Well, what else? Let's see. She was in charge of the military. Did you know that? The military ultimately reported to her. What that means is she could declare war. No, really. The queen could declare war. The king can declare war because the military actually reports to them. It sounds like a lot of responsibility and things being in charge to me. How about you? All right, welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. I'm with you every single Sunday. That's why it's called Sterling on Sunday. Every single Sunday for 3 hours. We get to share this time. Until enough program directors who have no sense of humor are banished or retire, and then creative, interesting program directors like Steve Moore get to be in charge, and then we'll be on every night of the week. This is Sterling on Sunday. What a great gift from Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell has taken $50 off queen-size sheets, the most popular sheets, for you. These are percale sheets. Percale cotton is extra woven. It's a denser cotton than you usually get. These are beautiful, wonderful sheets, perfect for fall, and will keep you comfortable and keep you cozy. All you have to do is call 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. It's incredible what you're going to get. These beautiful queen-size sheets. And now let me tell you about the colors. Red, navy blue, forest green, emerald green, black, white. What a great thing to give your kid at college, right? Call and get the information. It's 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Say, my name, Walter, and $50 comes off the price. 800-844-0876. Say, Walter, and $50 comes right off. That's just for you, a Sterling on Sunday listener. These are the best sheets you'll ever have. My Pillow sheets. Now, it's coming up to that time of year where you're going to have a lot of holidays and a lot of house visiting. Get a couple, put them in the closet. Somebody calls and says, hey, can you come over tomorrow? No problem. You will have a housewarming gift for the winter ready to go. Percale sheets from My Pillow. Here's the number, 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Beautiful, wonderful, cozy sheets. These are great. These are queen-size sheets that are normally $89.98, and now they're $39.98. 800-844-0876. My Pillow. I'm sure we could come up with something more tantalizing for Al Bundy to say than that he's wanting a nice cup of coffee. Of the thousands of hours of television of Married with Children, Al Bundy said more provocative things, like he liked Biggins magazine. Why don't we have those clips? Why isn't that possible? Why am I always fighting for the excitement that only radio can deliver? Isn't that a fair request? I think so. As I've been sitting here thinking about September 11th in New York City, where I had both the privilege and the fear of living there at the time, the images that stick with me are, I looked up at where the World Trade Center was, and you always knew where you were in New York by the World Trade Center. They were your guides. Where do I have to walk? North, south, east, west. I'd look up, oh, there's the World Trade Center, and I could adjust my walking to that. And I looked up, and they were gone. They were just gone. 108-story buildings, just gone. I had to make a decision in 1978 when I was running the NBC-owned radio stations. And the decision was, should I move the NBC-owned FM radio station's tower to the World Trade Center, which was being built at the time? And I said, well, what are the other stations doing? What are the other companies doing with their FMs? Are they going to move to the World Trade Center? And it was a very good deal. World Trade would buy us a new transmitter and move us. Well, I was running an FM radio station that was a disaster. I had just gotten the job. It was a disaster. It had lost money for 40 years. I'm like, I can get a free transmitter and it's going to be moved to the World Trade Center? Okay. Well, then it turns out that because of where it was and its height, the signal would have actually overshot North Jersey. I would have had no signal in North Jersey. That wouldn't have been good. And so then I learned something else. It was really interesting. At the time, the transmitter was at the top of the Empire State Building. And the vice president of transmitters, no, did you hear what I said? The vice president of transmitters, NBC had a vice president of transmitters, all the TV stations, all the radio stations. He was in charge of their transmitters. He showed me a topographical map of Manhattan. He said, please note, the top of the World Trade Center and the top of the Empire State Building are at the same height. Because lower Manhattan was lower. It was, in fact, at that point, it was made out of the brine and garbage dredged out of the Hudson River to form Battery Park City. It was lower. The top of the World Trade Center was at the same height as the Empire State Building. I said, well, what are the other companies doing? What is ABC going to do and CBS? He said, you can't ask them. I said, why? He said, because that's antitrust. You can't ask a competitor what they're going to do. I said, well, that's really no fun. Now, today, nobody would care. We'd go to a conference. Everybody would tell everybody else what they're going to do. Everybody would share drinks, and that would be that. But then there were laws, and people followed the laws. I was blessed with not moving the tower to the top of the World Trade Center. Only one station did, and it wasn't ours. But it was pretty scary, right? I mean, that was a big decision. It was, and I even thought at the time, if I get this wrong, I'm going to be hated for life. This would not go down well in my career if I get it wrong as to whether or not to move to the World Trade Center. That would be a bad idea. That's what I learned. The day of September 11th was a magnificent, beautiful day. There are about 10 days a year like this where every single city from Maine to Los Angeles is 70 degrees. And it was one of those days. Today is one of those days. Every city across America, it was 70 degrees and sunny all day. Little rain here and there, but a beautiful, magnificent day. And that's why it was so deceptive that this grand day delivered this horror. And then when I found out who died that day and how many people I knew died that day, it was even worse. It was even worse. So here's my message. Whatever we have to do to get the people who perpetuated that hell on our country, get the bastards. Get the bastards.